621, 1320 WILS. So FBI Director James Comey today testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee talked about what went down and the fact that everyone's blaming him, of course, for the election results, specifically Democrats. Here is James Comey discussing that experience.
It makes me mildly nauseous to think that we might have had some impact on the election. But honestly, it wouldn't change the decision. Tell me what you would do. Would you speak or would you conceal? And I could be wrong, but we honestly made a decision between those two choices that even in hindsight, and this has been one of the world's most painful experiences, I would make the same decision.
A political strategist, Cameron Clifton, with us here on WILS. Cameron, great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
What do you think of all the blame that he gets for how things turned out? Is that fair?
You know, yes and no. One of the things that he gets a lot of blame for is not sticking to his story. You know, he, if you remember, was it last July, almost a year ago, mm-hmm. when he, you know, went through great pains to explain to everyone why Mrs. Clinton was guilty of so many things. And then in like the last two sentences of his little talk said, oh, by the way, we're not going to indict her with anything. Yeah,
because the intent,
that,
right? It was all about
was
intent,
tough.
Right? He kept talking, and he talked about intent today for why he didn't go after Uma Abedin. What do you think of
right.
his position there?
Well, you know, here's the problem. It's almost as though he, in the clip that you just played, where he's begging for understanding. I mean, that's the way that I take it. It's like if you have an employee in front of you who's trying to explain poor judgment, and that's the best he can come up with. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that he's always struggling with what he thinks he should do and what he doesn't want to be blamed for. And that's kind of the rock in the hard place that he is in. I think he has outlived his usefulness in his role. And I think the first thing the president should have done in his new administration would be to replace him. And I'm not sure, and I haven't been able to sort out why that hasn't already happened. Not necessarily because Director Comey has done anything, quote unquote, so wrong, mm-hmm. but just that he doesn't hold the confidence of the office. And without that, what really is there?
Yeah. Do you think there's anything that's keeping President Trump from addressing that? Or?
You know, Mike, that's the thing that I keep struggling with. I'm not sure. At first, I thought it was because, you know, he wanted to give him a chance to, you know, get everything back in line. And there was a lot of disgruntlement within the FBI. There were so many reports that agents were, you know, disenchanted with that leadership and mm-hmm. maybe let that all settle down because he has so much on his plate, you know, to get done. But now we're moving into, you know, the second quarter of his administration, and I think that's the thing that ought to ratchet its way up to the top in terms of staffing.
Yeah, Cameron Clifton with us here on WILS. So Hillary Clinton spoke really extensively for the first time yesterday about what happened in the election. Here's her analysis of why she lost.
I take absolute personal responsibility. I was the candidate. I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. Now, if the election had been on October 27th, I'd be your president. And it wasn't.
Well, what do you think of her analysis? Is she right there?
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's like an employee who's goofed up and is now in one voice. And the first thing she says, I was a candidate. I take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then in the second breath, she blames it on the Russians and Comey.
If it wasn't for the emails, would she have won Michigan, do you think?
I don't think so, because I think one of the things that they and that her, you know, her supporters always overlook is that she offered the American worker, the people that have been suffering for the last 10 years, she offered them nothing. The closest she came to that was to try to identify with them is that her father was a drapery maker. But beyond that, she had nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it was all about rainbow causes and climate change and, you know, things that don't create jobs, actually create problems.
And she didn't actually.
So no, I don't think she would have won. I think even if she would have put out a better even if she would have done a better job, I think that that she still would not have won.
So in terms of if she had come to Michigan more, I mean, she basically was not here. They assumed they were going to win. Do you think that would have made a difference, or was it just the message?
Well, I think it was. I think that was part of this combination of she felt it was an entitlement thing. She felt that if she talked to the people who really liked her and went to the places that were easy to get to. Do you know how many times she went to North Carolina? Because North Carolina is easy to get to. And so, you know, I just don't think, I think she took a lot for granted and then was very surprised when she didn't win.
Yeah,
and then there was a lot of tantrum throwing and a lot of blame and a lot of name calling and all that sort of thing. And
she said,
you know,
I should note that she said in this interview yesterday that she is now part of the resistance. What, how much of a factor do you think she'll be within the Democratic Party now?
None. And I think the reason is that, you know, her ship has sailed. And every year she's getting older. She looks even older now than before. And I don't think that she's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is way older than she is, but he resonated with that millennial group, about a third of that generation, who are part libertarian, part socialist, part millennial, and have no real, you know, we haven't designated, you know, kind of where they're going to go yet.
So when you, tell me this, Cameron, though, when you see Elizabeth Warren now, and even Cory Booker, do you, either of those appear to you that to be real front runners to take on President Trump?
You know, I don't think so, and here's why. Elizabeth Warren is more progressive than Barack Obama ever dreamed of being. And if the president of the United States now keeps going with the things that he promised, if he can actually deliver those, maybe not, you know, before the mid mark of this calendar year, but before the end of the year, if he can deliver tax reform, if he can deliver, you know, the border wall, if he can deliver all the things that the health care, everything that he's promised, more jobs, whatever, then I think that he will be in really good shape, because in the midterms, the Republicans will hold their majority. All of the things that Cory Booker, who's an avowed communist, actually, and Elizabeth Warren, who describes herself as, you know, the progressive's progressive, they don't have anything to bring to that party. Hmm. You know, they don't, and I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm talking about to an election.
Yeah.
Now, it's very far left, yeah. and this is not the era of far left. Le Pen is probably going to win the French election this week, right?
Really? That's your prediction?
I think so. I mean, she's ahead. Their media is saying that she's ahead. Well, British media is saying that she's ahead. Yeah. So in other places, this populism thing is growing all over the world.
Just a minute left, 60 seconds, Cameron. Hillary brought up the fact that she won 30 million more votes than Donald Trump. Is that something you think we'll see again in the next election?
Well, even if she does, it's she won in what? She did that in two states, New York and California. So you would expect that. I would expect anybody who runs on the Democrat platform to do that. But you have to get what they call the flyover states, Michigan, you know, that strip from down the center of the country.
Michigan, Wisconsin, the rest. And they'll probably give us a lot more attention next time around. It's Cameron Clifton, political strategist Cameron Clifton, right here on 1320. WILS. Cameron, it's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you.
God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
6:30, when we come back, what do you do when your loved one is in horrible pain and the doctors are not helping? Well, you go to the other side. We'll hear about that next on WILS.